This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, you may have noticed that we're on the second Sunday in Advent, a season that looks ahead to the birth of our Lord Jesus. We're going to use a passage from Isaiah chapter 4 for the teaching time today. It's Isaiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. On that day, seven women will seize one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and provide our own clothing. Just let us bear your name. Take away our disgrace." And on that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of Israel's survivors. Whoever remains in Zion and whoever is left in Jerusalem will be called holy. All in Jerusalem written in the book of life. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood guilt from the heart of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning. Then the Lord will create a cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame of fire by night over the entire site of Mount Zion and over its assemblies. For there will be a canopy over all the glory, and there will be a shelter for shade from heat by day, and a refuge and shelter from storm and rain. If I were to ask you what's important about the birth of Christ, what would you say?
Jesus.
Well, that's just repeating the same thing. Obviously, it's important, but anyway. What's that?
He's our hope.
He gives us hope, yes. What else?
A reason why.
A reason why? Salvation. Okay, good. Those are all good answers. But we hear from Jesus himself what his three purposes were for coming into our world. He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, "Let's go on to the neighboring villages that I may preach there too. This is why I have come." So, one of Jesus' purposes was to teach and preach about the coming of the kingdom of God. A second reason, very closely related to that, is found in Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." So, he came to save lost souls, which I assume is a good thing. And the third reason is pretty straightforward. In Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, you remember when you were kids and your mother would say, "Go get washed up for dinner." That meant to go wash your hands and face and get ready to eat. We were supposed to be clean enough to come to the table. That's what Jesus meant. He came to clean us up so we can be washed up in the right way. Ultimately, that meant he came to die for those who will be saved. And think about it, Jesus was cool with these three purposes for his sojourn on the planet. The only indication of any stress about all of this was the human nature of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Father, take this cup from me." But then Jesus peacefully determined to go through with it by saying, "Not what I will, but what you will." So Jesus came to take away our sin, which is covered and prophesied in our sermon passage today. Isaiah 4, 1 through 6, and we're going to go through it verse by verse now. So let's take a look at this passage and see what it has to say and how it relates to Jesus' purpose in coming. "On that day, seven women will seize one man, saying, 'We will eat our own bread and provide our own clothing. Just let us bear your name. Take away our disgrace.'" What's significant here is the number seven. It's an illustration of the biblical number seven, standing for redemption. His people on that day will call on the Lord. They'll do their part. They'll bring with them their battered lives, their threadbare provisions, and their meager supplies and come to the Lord. Then they'll humble themselves before him and say, "Save us, please forgive us for our sins, and remove the stain of sin from us." And that's what that verse says. Now, verse 2, "On that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, And the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of Israel's survivors. Whoever remains in Zion and whoever is left in Jerusalem will be called holy. All in Jerusalem written in the book of life. So on that day when salvation comes, when Jesus returns, and on that day when he was born the first time to save us, and this prophetic word, when Christ comes in both of those times, he will be beautiful. Remember that in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, Jesus, the Messiah, is called a shoot or the righteous branch. So that's what it means when it says the branch of the Lord in that verse. Now, his appearance will be glorious. When he came the first time, his birth was accompanied by angel choirs and signs in the heavens. When he returns his appearing will be with hosts of angels, the redeemed, and in the Shekinah glory. So whenever Jesus shows up, it's glorious. And whoever remains in Zion and whoever is left in Jerusalem refers to those who are saved. If you come to Christ, your name will be in the book of life. So on the day that you pass from this life, or when Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, if you are in Christ, you are in good shape, and your name will be written and is written in the book of life. And that's cool. Now, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood guilt from the heart of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning, this verse is loaded. Now it says, the washed away is a reflection of what Ezekiel the prophet would write a century or two later after Isaiah, when he would write in Ezekiel 36:25, I will also sprinkle clean water on you. Then there's Titus 3:5. He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's this interesting little passage there about the filth of the daughters of Zion. If we take a look at the meaning in Hebrew for filth, we find that it's pretty graphic. When you were a kid, did you ever go out and play in the mud? I remember a time when I fell into a mud puddle, and I was covered with it. I went to the door of my house, and my mom said, don't even think about coming in this door without you taking off those dirty clothes first. So I said, well, I was glad I was in the garage, because then nobody would see me take off all the outside clothing and dump them on the floor. And so the point of that was that I wasn't even to think to go through the door until I had taken off the dirty clothes. Now, but our state of lostness is even a bit more graphic than being covered with mud. Paul talked about his new life in Christ in Philippians when he said that everything he had before Jesus was like dung, which is a polite word for waste material. And that's what filth means here. To put it bluntly, filth in this passage means poop. And Isaiah tells us that being in our sins and needing a cleansing is like basically being covered with poop. There's no other way to delicately cover this subject than that. God believes that our sin is that bad. Our sin is like dung, waste material. And until we are cleansed by the blood of Christ, it's like we are, and in fact it is true, we are covered with it. Our lost and sinful state is that bad. And this is a graphic depiction of how God sees sin. He sees it like filth. And it's his desire to clean us up. Now, the blood guilt, that word doesn't refer to any specific sin, and it's not a reference to anything like murder or violence. It's the internal stain upon our own souls for our guilt, for our sin. It has always been God's desire, though, to cleanse his people. So then that's what leads to the reference to the spirit of judgment and burning. This means two things. This is the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin. This is the Spirit bringing to our minds the things for which we need to repent. And this also means the Lord's judgment for our sin. But this is not the fearful white throne judgment at the very end. This is the Lord's judgment when we come before His throne as His people. That's why this phrase is followed by the spirit of burning. Do you remember the phrase in Hebrews 12:29? For our God is a consuming fire. Then there's Paul's description in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each man's work or each one's work. If anyone's work that has been built, that he has built, survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. That's what this means. God delights in making us pure and spotless in His sight. He provided us a way to have our guilt taken away and our sin washed. It's in the purifying process and through the blood of Christ. Then the Lord will create a cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame of fire by night over the entire site of Mount Zion and over its assemblies. For there will be a canopy over all the glory, and there will be a shelter for shade from heat by day, and a refuge and shelter from storm and rain. What this means is really simple. When we come to Christ, when we repent of our sin and come to Him in humility, He will provide us with His shelter and His covering. The cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame by night is a direct reference back to the Lord's presence with His people in Exodus, in Exodus 13:22. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. This was the Lord's presence with His people. It was His shield and the way He led them. And this can be a real assurance to us when we have His solemn promise that He will be with His people. And that's what's meant by Mount Zion and over its assemblies. There will be a canopy over all the glory because God will be with His holy ones. What this means in practical terms is that when we find ourselves in our wilderness or our desert, or when we have to endure hardship, He will be with us. When we feel like our lives are falling apart, when we feel like we can't stand one more day of all of this COVID-19 stuff, or the endless stories of one disaster after another, God's smoke and fire is with us to rescue us, and His protection is right here with us. He will see us through any hardship, any trial, any heartache. We are His blood-bought children. He paid for our redemption so we can have, and so He can have a holy people set apart for Himself. He will wash us clean and make sure we are pure so we can live in His presence now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.